Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Monday. We're going to talk some USC Trojan football. 2 weeks of spring practice is in the books. We're going to talk to the coach, Harvey Hyde. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Harvey Hyde or go to his website, HarveyHyde.com, to check out all of his takes about the USC Trojan football team. And if you have any questions or comments for us here on the show, send us an email, podcast@uscfootball.com. Say, hey, it's for Coach Harvey Hyde show, for Ryan the Keeley show, whatever show you want it to be, let us know in the email and we will listen to play it and read it on the air and give you our thoughts on what's going on there. Sorry, it's a Monday. My words are not coming to me right away, but you can also email us with podcast@uscfootball.com. You can voicemail us or text us at 424-254-9141. Send us a text or leave us a voicemail to that number, and we'll be happy to play it on the air. And if you have the Apple Podcasting app on any of your devices, please follow us on the Peristyle Podcast. Leave a 5-star rating, any kind of review you have. We love to hear from you, and it definitely helps us to grow the show. And we got to keep growing the show, Coach. And now that we have some football to talk about again, it is great to be out there at the Coliseum or at Howard Jones Field, checking out the team. And I know you did that this past Saturday. We're going to pick your brain about that and a lot more. Welcome to the show, Coach. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you very much, Ryan. It was a beautiful day out there, and I really enjoyed it. We had an opportunity to watch the water polo team play right behind us as they beat Stanford 12-8, USC's water polo team. So we don't want to keep it a secret, is ranked the number one women's volleyball water polo team, is ranked number one in the country. The lacrosse team is ranked number two in the country, so we might as well spread the word on that a little bit too. And I just had a great day out there, and we saw a lot of different types of scrimmage opportunities, inside drill, outside drill, 7-on-7, offensive scrum, goal line, red zone, special teams. So we'll start wherever you want, buddy.
Yeah, that sounds good. So we're going to get into the scrimmage, but first, we got some breaking news. I'll do our news drop. Yeah, breaking news. So USC will now allow approximately 5,000 family members, guests, and fans in the Coliseum on Saturday for the spring showcase. So it's this Saturday, April 17th, 1 p.m. It's going to be live on the Pac-12 Network. We knew the media could go because we've been attending practices, and we assumed, even as of Sunday night when we did our Tunnel Vision show, that my guess was there weren't going to be any fans allowed. Maybe they allow family members and things like that of the players. But for fans, it seemed like, you know, a week away, less than a week away, it would have been tough to do. But on Monday morning, they did pull the trigger. They got approval from the county, so they will be able to allow fans to come to the spring game on Saturday. So if you're a season ticket holder, you should be getting some information very soon about how you can purchase your tickets. There's all the social distancing, masking, all that stuff. You have to be in, you know, your group of, I believe groups of up to 6 people can attend, and you have to sit in your assigned seats and all that. We do know it's going to be 4 12-minute quarters of live contact play. They're going to have a Cardinal squad and a Gold squad, so it sounds much more like an actual spring game, so that's good. We don't know how many season ticket holders are going to be allowed to attend, because there's going to be family of the players, there's some guests, and then, of course, the fans. But you should be getting that information soon if you haven't already. So this is big news, Coach. Some fans can actually get out there and watch the team practice.
I think it's great news. I'll tell you, you're exactly right. I think family members get 6 tickets. You all sit together. You're spread out. You sit where you're supposed to sit, and I was surprised. I saw in there that you could take your mask off to drink or eat. Now, I was surprised they said eating, but maybe I misread that. And then I also saw, Ryan, and you did too probably, that they're going to allow people now in baseball games. There's 12 baseball games left, water polo, all the different sporting activities that are going on. There'll be a certain a limited amount of people who can attend those and watch those too. So it's starting to open up, and all I can say, people, please follow the rules and regulations so we keep everything going and there isn't a return to say, no, we can't do this anymore because people aren't following what they're supposed to do. So let's follow it all and let's get it done and let's watch what's going on Saturday. Brian, I got a question for you.
Sure.
And, you know, I sort of get a little bit confused when they call us a showcase. What is a showcase? A circus? What is a showcase? Every other university in the country that I know, as far as what I watch on TV, they call it a spring game or a spring scrimmage. And you mentioned 4 12-minute quarters, Cardinal and gold teams, full go. What's a showcase? Where did that come from? The PR department?
I think it did, Coach. So this is my take on what this, you know, how this came about. Why it became a spring showcase. If you remember, it was the Trojan Huddle before. It was a spring game. Basically around the time when the sanctions hit, numbers were down a little bit. They sort of backed away from doing a real spring game. And it was, you know, the excuse being there's just not enough bodies out there. They didn't have enough scholarship players. So it was going to be some kind of, you know, glorified practice. It wasn't going to be an actual spring game. And you know, I don't remember what year the showcase thing came up. It was several years ago. But they kept – it's sort of like a tradition. They started doing it because of the sanctions, and they just kept doing it. And I felt like there was years that they were deep enough, and they could have had the, you know, a spring game. Maybe have to shuffle a certain position group around a little bit, and they play on both sides. Whatever. I feel like you could have done that. And then they didn't. And they kind of kept this tradition of a spring showcase going. It's really been through the whole Clay Helton era that they've been doing that. And it's been upsetting for a lot of fans. They want to see an actual spring game. And they, this year, Coach, we've heard both. We've heard originally it was going to be spring game. Then they went back and said spring showcase again. But the way they're describing it, it's sounding much more like a spring game. So maybe they're keeping the name because they don't want it to, like, oh, we backed away from spring games in the past, and we're coming back to it. We'll still call it the spring showcase. They should go back to calling it the Trojan Huddle again. But my gut is, Coach, this is going to feel a lot more like a spring game than what we've seen in the last several years.
Yeah, that's what's confusing. Just the way you know, everything's confusing in the football program, as far as I'm concerned. As far as the physicality, what they mean by that, the play calling, what's going on there. You know, all the different things, how you can be happy with the offense or whatever's going on and you can't make a yard on the ground. I mean, you know, these are the type of things that, you know, I think upset the fans and the people. You know, it's called football. It's not a showcase. It's a football scrimmage where you make the team or you don't make the team, and we're going to evaluate you on who's going to eat and who's not going to eat and who's going to have steaks and who's going to have hamburgers. All of the above. This is a real contest as far as who we are and what we're going to do. And when you sort of call it a showcase, I think players think it's a showcase. So let's take our headsets out. Let's dance around. Let's do all the things during warm-ups or whatever. Let's don't be as ready as we're supposed to be. I like to say, hey, guys, we're going out Saturday, and Ed, you better bring your lunch because it's going to be an all-day fight. So if you get hungry, you brought your food. And let them know exactly what's going on, because it's all part of the same picture that you're painting for the fans and also painting for the players and coaches and us who talk about it. Is it a scrimmage or it is not a scrimmage? Are they going to have trampolines out there? Are they going to have football contests, all the different things they had in the past? Hey, let's find out what football's about, and let's make it a football scrimmage, and that's where people will want to come out and want to be a part of it. Let's don't mislead them and have them guessing like you're guessing. Well, I think it's going to be this, or I think it's going to be that. What do you mean? It's a football scrimmage.
Yeah, we want to see a scrimmage. The fans want to see a scrimmage. If you remember 2 years ago, it was probably the worst one we've ever seen. It was live on the Pac-12 network, and it wasn't even a good practice. It wasn't. Yeah, it was just like they basically said, we're going to have like a regular practice, and it wasn't even like a good practice. There were people out there. It was on TV. It's like, why did you even bother doing this? So I feel like maybe this year it's a deep group, right, Coach? Like, this is a deeper spring roster than we've seen in quite a while. To me, there's no reason not to. I mean, you got like 19 offensive linemen. Like, that was some of the issues before. You got plenty of bodies out there. I think they need to have a real game. And from what the way they're describing it, I think we're going to see closer to a real spring game.
Well, and let's don't guess. Let's say that's what they're going to have, and let's do it and find out how players can operate on their own on the field without somebody in their ear telling them what to do and whatever else is going on. So I just wanted to make that point because it's been confusing to me, and maybe it's confusing to our listeners out there. Hey, football is a part of football, and you learn to play football by playing football and hitting somebody, and somebody hits you back. And you react. If he knocks you down, you get up. The next time you knock him down. That's what the game's all about. And if you don't feel about it that way, then you shouldn't play it and you shouldn't coach it. And again, you don't want anybody to get hurt. But these other teams you're going to play, hey, they take it pretty serious. So you better take it pretty serious too.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I from what we've seen so far, that's my gut. But, you know, we'll have to see what they do on Saturday. They have 12, you know, four 12-minute periods. It sounds like a lighter game. I feel like they're saying the right things as far as, hey, this is actually going to be a game. So we'll see what they do. But this past weekend, Coach, the Trojans did have a scrimmage on Howard Jones Field. You got to be in the Aquatic Center high above the practice field. You already mentioned the cool view you've had of the scrimmage, but wanted to get your initial thoughts on what you saw in the scrimmage, Coach.
Well, I don't know where you want to start. I think the organization of the practice was good for a Saturday. What I meant by that, there wasn't much fooling around as far as, you know, doing things that you could do during the week. And when you're in full pads, you get ready to go out and hit. I think you got to keep the tempo up. I think there's, what can I say? I mean, the inside drill was the inside drill I described to you all the time, where you run the football and you pound it in there and you get the necessary yardage. And those are tough yardage to get when you're inside, especially when you know they're not going to throw the ball much. But that's the way you ought to do it, because the defense has an advantage here now. Remember when you do that Oklahoma drill, I still call it that, well, the defense has an advantage. And the defense here has an advantage again as far as making it tough for you to get yardage, but that's the best way to teach it, is to go in there and pound and get off the line. Now, I don't see the offensive line getting much push as far as on the offensive line. They come off the line and they're looking on who they're supposed to block, and if the guy moves, they got to continually move too and pick up who's going to come to that position, but you got to do it aggressively. You can't think about it. You got to go off and you got to play on their side of the line of scrimmage, and I really don't see the offensive line playing on their side of the line of scrimmage. I don't see them being aggressive. And for a senior class of offensive linemen, except for the left tackles, I would think by now they get that point. And the defense dominated those drills. The defense really dominated those drills as far as the inside drill. And, and one thing, too, you know, and I know that the quarterback's not going to carry the football. Everybody else knows that, too. So when there's one back there, or, you know, and when two backs are there, you know what play they're going to run. They're either going to pass block, or what they're going to do is run a power or run a blast. And they ran one fake draw pass where in the regular scrimmage, why would you run a fake draw pass when you never ran a draw to set up the pass? I don't know. These are things I think about. Where, you know, you have a plan and you tell your quarterback, there's only one quarterback that carries out his fakes, and that's the kid from Vanderbilt, number 10. He completes the play. When he hands the ball off, he rolls and holds the backside. Now, the backside doesn't stay because they know he's not going to keep the ball, but at least he continues with it and he moves. And the other quarterbacks, I guess Graham Harrell didn't want him to do that. He just wants him to stand in the pocket and get their ass kicked, okay? And that's basically what happens. And half of the passing drills that went on, those poor quarterbacks were running for their life. And it's a good thing they had their yellow jerseys or Cardinals jerseys on, or they'd have been smacked, okay? Because they weren't blocking properly. They didn't have time to throw the ball. Why was there so many interceptions during that period of time or during the day? Keaton threw two in a row because he's being harassed. His timing is off. He finds a way to get out of the pocket. He's throwing on the run. Receivers are making adjustments to the original call of the pattern. I mean, really, it's to me, it's embarrassing, and I know the defense is ahead of the offense, always should be in the spring. But you got to help the offense. You got to help them with certain type of setting up plays and so on. During the regular scrimmage and during the goal line and also during the red zone, I think during the red zone or during the goal line, they scored one time. And they can't make it. They can't get it in. They can't push it. They never go under center. They went on the goal line. I think they put the ball in the 12-yard line or 10-yard line. They got in the pistol, which is the I type of back without a fullback, and they ran straight ahead, which is an improvement. But why don't you go under center and run a quarterback sneak and make that offensive line get off the football and get that yard and get off the football and get that yard and then keep them guessing on exactly what's going to happen? I mean, it just, you know, I keep preaching to the choir, and until I see different things happening, new running series and actually emphasizing the run during the scrimmage, which they don't do, I'm seeing the same old thing I've seen the last three scrimmage or the last three springs.
Yeah, so I mean, there's some interesting stuff in there, Coach, as far as you know what the defense was doing. You say the defense is usually ahead of the offense, and that's fine. Do you feel like it was mostly an issue with the offensive line, or is it a combination of the way the line played and also just schematically what the offense was doing? Where you're talking about the quarterbacks, not being a threat to run, not running, lining up under center, things like that.
It's a combination of everything we've been talking about. And after a period of time, you start to think, there's a saying I learned from George Allen at one time, and he says, the most dangerous thing is when you think you know and you don't know. And I'm not quite sure if they see the same things all of us see. And I'm not saying I'm a great coach. I'm just a guy that loves football and watches football. But I know you can have the greatest players in the world, but unless you assist them become better players with what your schemes are and what you're doing, if the other team has equal players or knows what you're going to do, it becomes easier for them. Their series, they don't move the pocket, they don't change anything. I mean, it's the same thing, same plays. I haven't seen anything different except for the alignment. As far as the pistol down on the goal line, didn't see no double tight ends. As far as down there in a jumbo type of situation, when you get down there in the goal line and you got to punch it in, I'm waiting. I keep hoping that I'm going to see these things, and no type of moving the pocket or trying to help the quarterback. I mean, no type of draws. I mean, one draw and it was a fake. I mean, no series. If you know football, you have a series. You have a power and a bootleg. You have the two-hole, the four-hole, the six-fold, the eight-hole. And I know they didn't throw their quick screens and all that stuff that they call part of the running game to the outside, bubble screens and all of that. You know, I just wonder, they finished their sixth practice. They've got the spring game coming up. Are they going to work on their jet sweeps and counters and things, too, to help the offense against the defense, to keep them off balance? I mean, I don't know, but you got to neutralize the defense or you're never going to make a yard.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign that the defense was playing as well as they were. But like you said, you have to neutralize them in some way. Schematically, there's not going to be big changes. They're not going to start running I formation. We did hear from Clay McGuire that they might go under center more. I have been seeing more two-back sets, but maybe not as much as one of those backs being a blocker. A lot of times it's just one of the guys going out and they act as a receiver. But outside of, okay, they're going to do what they're doing schematically. That's probably not going to change. You're probably not going to see the quarterbacks running and keeping the ball on the zone reads and things like that. What did you see from the offensive line that needed to get better? Because they they're working Cortland Ford mostly with the first team out there at left tackle. But you're seeing young guys on the two deep. Jonah Mannheim is backing up Jalen McKenzie at right guard. Casey Collier is backing up at the left tackle spot. So you got some freshmen in there on the two deep. What did you see from the offensive line that needs to get better?
Well, what I saw in the offensive line, they look good in their uniforms, okay? Now, I want to see more than that. You look good in your uniforms, but let's become a football player. And I know if you're a parent out there and those are one of your sons, you want them and you're encouraging them to become the same thing, become a football player. And I think that's part of coaching and getting these kids. And I know McGuire is his first year, and he's had six practices and all of the above. Okay. But I see the same mistakes. I see the right tackle. I'm not going to use his name. You all know it is. He still holds because people get a jump on him. And so he holds almost every play. I mean, if you wanted to call a holding penalty, you could call it every play, okay? So I don't know why they let him get away with that, but that's okay. I don't see him really people getting off the football the way they should get off the football and own the line of scrimmage. They're playing basically down the line of scrimmage where the defense really penetrates, and then all of a sudden, you know, a guy gets through on the ball. And they didn't stunt much either, USC. But when they stunted, the offensive line had no idea, okay? So I think they call off the Wolves. I think I would have, if I was Coach Clay Hill, not to call it off. I said, don't do that anymore, Todd. Knock it off. And because they had no idea. I mean, the poor quarterback, he had a white flag. He lifted up, please, you know. Because if it had been a game, who knows what would have happened. So, you know, I think I'd love to see them go to practice one day and never throw the football. Maybe have three quarters of the practice just a running game. So somebody gets the idea that the defense has got to get good in the run and the offense has got good to get better in the run. And until we get better in the run, we ain't going to throw the damn football. But that's what they all look forward to do is throwing the football, even the coaches. And I think it's great. But unless you start to get your running game going and you're not last in the Pac-12 in rushing, you're not going to win championships, okay? You're going to have to win four or five games in the last seconds and have miracles happen. And you've got too much talent to have that happen. At least, why did you recruit him if you're not going to, you know, if my ex is bigger than you're, oh, I should win. And they're big offensive linemen. They should get it done. I like Ford. I told you a week ago, I like Ford. I think he's got great potential. You know, you got to baby him, but yet you got to teach him how to shave, and you got to let him know. And, you know, you can't baby kids. You got to say, when we're out here, it's all football. It's all football, and we win and lose by the line of scrimmage on the offensive side and the defensive side. And I was really embarrassed for the offense as far as if I'd have been play hell after that practice, I'd have taken my offensive staff in there and I'd say, I'm going to coach the offense.
Wow.
I'm going to coach the offense because obviously – we're not in a position where we're getting any better or whatever else. And, you know, if you're listening, Graham Hill, I have nothing against you or so on, but you need to get a film. You need to watch the Alabama film, the Ohio State film. You need to watch and see exactly what's going on there, the physicality, what's happening, the belief in the program, and all of that. And I'm telling you, this team should win. But, again, and you heard me weeks ago talk about if they don't go 11-1, I'm disappointed. They got to split with Notre Dame, and they got to split with Arizona State. Or they can beat them both, they go undefeated, because they don't play Oregon. They don't play Washington. They play Oregon State. They play Arizona. I mean, their division is all theirs. UCLA might be a challenge because it's a big game. But there's no excuses why you have to win football games by a point or in the last seconds. You're USC, and you got to build that into who they are. And the coaches, if they don't believe it, maybe they have too many quarterbacks on their staff. Mostly, what, six coaches or what, played quarterback. They always wore the Cardinal jersey. But you got to get tough, and I'm sorry that I'm talking like this, but I don't want to see the same things happen.
Now, I get you, Coach, and it's interesting you say, hey, just run the football. Go to a practice where all you're going to do is run, and you're never going to pass. Now, that kind of gives the defense an advantage. They know you're never going to throw the football. But I do some beach volleyball coach, and sometimes the drill you want them to do is only underhand passing. So that's the first, you know, people want to hit the ball, they want to set or whatever. Everyone has to pass the ball with control. So it's just pass. Now, it's basically like just running the football all the time. You can't attack the ball over the net. You have to pass it over and try to put it in a good spot. And I think it kind of gets you focused on that's really the fundamental of playing volleyball is being able to pass the football and control the ball. And then the first show is going up and spiking the ball. I think maybe something similar would be really interesting. But it was really that bad because you really just felt like there was no way. They just were not running the football at all. It would need something like just focus on it, because they're just not getting it done right now.
No, and with some help too. With some play series, with things that match and go together, and counters, and, you know, different things, H-backs and the slot coming around, and all the different type of things that help hold the backside, bootlegs, all the things that make you a better football team. You can't be afraid to have your quarterback carry the ball and teach him how to slide. But you've got to hold the outside. You've got to make him be aware that he can run for a first down. You've got to be able to make a first down by running three plays. But you can do that if you spread the defense and you keep them honest on both sides, where they can't just collapse on you and kick your butt. So you've got to do these type of things. And it's not all the player's fault. It's running the right plays with the right series. Every time you get split backs, I know what it's going to be. They're going to pass the ball. They're going to run the power. They're going to run that same old blast, but there's no bootleg off of it. The quarterback doesn't continue with his fake to the backside, doesn't hold the backside. I mean, this is simple football. This is simple football. And, I think we're, if people watch it Saturday, let's look for the things I'm talking about and watch and see what they're doing. Watch and see if you see what I do, what the quarterback is doing, if he's carrying out with his fakes. If he kept the football, he'd be still running. He'd be at Santa Monica Beach now. I mean, really, you've got to do those things. You've got to do those things, but it helps the defense too, because you're going to face these quarterbacks that do that. And you've got to, you know, they just can't be ignored. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Coach. What is some of the stuff you liked from the scrimmage? What did you, maybe more on the defensive side of the ball, what are some of the things that stood out to you that you thought were positives?
Well, I think that when I'm watching it, I see a lot more enthusiasm, okay? I think people are trying. I don't think, like I said, it's the kids or the coaches' enthusiasm. I think it's what they're doing. I saw more hustle. I saw the coaches with a lot of enthusiasm. I saw more discipline. I saw the things out there that you have to do to get it done. Like I mentioned before, I see the kids in the right uniforms. I see them, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. Their helmets are on, you know, and I don't hear the loud music during practice where people can concentrate rather than dance on the sidelines. I see all that, and I think that's really good, because it's study time. It's game time, and then you're going to have a test on it. Your test is going to be when we scrimmage or play somebody. So you got to really study, and you got to know the answers. You got to know who you're going to hit and block. So I did. I really think that the coaches are enthusiastic. They're vocal. But I just think that what they're doing on the offensive side, they're not having results, because I think Todd's doing a good job as far as motivating his players. Like, you know, as you notice, he always has the defense get in a three-point stance when they change possessions and run on the field. Well, one time they didn't run on the field like he wanted them to run on the field. So he said, excuse me, offense, we got to correct something here. He didn't let it go by. He didn't say, oh, that's okay. Like a lot of times, he brought them all back, put them back, and said, now run on the damn field the way you're supposed to run on the damn field, like you know you're supposed to, you want to play football. They said, ready, go. Or whatever they do, they move their hand, and away he went. They ran on the field. You can't let little things go by. And I think right now the defense has got a lot of confidence, and I like the way they ended practice. There was an intercepted pass. I think Williams intercepted the pass. I can't remember. And the whistles blew three times. The horn blew. Practice was done, and it ended with not the offense getting another chance. You don't deserve. You didn't get another chance. Defense kick your butt. We're in the practice. There's no other chances. We lost the game or whatever. So I think that's a good point, too, is, we can't end it like that. Yes, you can end it like that. That's the way it should end. And, you know, I see that, but I think the kids are trying, and that's what's important. When you get your kids trying, and see, I see a couple of kids get an elbow or get a shoulder, and they look over. They wouldn't want to look at the sideline, and they played the next play. And then they're all right. They played the rest of the scrimmage. they're learning that a bruise is not your heart. You know, and now when your heart's in trouble, you better get off the field. But a bruise here and there is not going to kill you. And it toughens you up in a way as far as knowing that, you know, what's the old saying, you know, when you take the beaches, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys that go down, but you keep going.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the philosophy I would be teaching.
Yeah, I like that too, Coach, because sometimes you just seem to be like they want to save like a great offensive play to end things. But, you know, it's a great defensive play. You get an interception like that. And if the defense has been dominating, don't give the offense another opportunity. Let them, you know, have that bad taste in their mouth when they go back to the locker room and like, man, that was bad. We gotta fix this. And maybe they come out in the next practice and play better.
You're exactly right. And you think I'm kidding you. I would have it that after the scrimmage, now they all say, how can he do this? It's not the kid's fault. But you got to make a reason. There's got to be a trophy for doing well. The defense would add steaks. And the offense would have had hot dogs.
I don't know if you can do that nowadays, Coach, but I get
no,
you.
No, you can't do that. But in my days, we had two barbecues. Ones that won and played well, the ones that, you know, didn't pay the bill.
Yeah. All right. So in general, from what you've seen Saturday, what do you think – I mean, as far as, you know, this coming Saturday, the spring showcase, the spring game.
Don't call it showcase.
Let's call it spring game.
Y'all get me all mad.
Yeah, I don't want to get you mad. For the spring game, do you feel like, you know, they can do some things to kind of help the offense like you're talking about? Like, what, I mean, if it goes the same way and it's just, dominated by the defense, it's going to be tough, I think, for the offense going forward. I mean, they can tweak some things to sort of like, skew things in the offense's favor. I mean, how do you think this is going to go down on Saturday?
Well, first of all, I'd go ones against ones. One thing they're going to do, and I'll look for this right away, are they going to go ones against threes so that the offense has a better chance of being successful? I know your opponents aren't going to do that. Your opponents are going to start your best players, okay? So the first thing you draw, we got to make our offense look good. They're losing confidence. They're losing confidence. Yeah, they're losing confidence. But you've got to learn to do it against the good guys. And you got to look at yourself as a coach and say, what are we doing wrong? Why aren't we doing this and doing that? And why aren't we successful? And if I was maybe Graham Harrell, I'd talk to Todd. I'd say, Todd, tell me what we could do to make it a little bit more difficult for us, for you on the defensive side of the football. I mean, you know, you're part of the staff. You all win and you don't lose. When you go to a football game, it isn't like the defense won and the offense lost. If you all get the W, you all get the loss. And, you know, and I know they do that anyway. At least I hope they're doing that. Or they understand they're doing that. So please don't try to balance it out by putting ones against threes, and twos against fours, and whatever you're doing to make, you know, one side of the football look better than the other. You've got to learn to play ones against ones. Ones against ones, because that's what you're going to play with on Saturday. Your ones against their ones. So you don't make it easy. You just say, what you've got to improve as a coach and an offense to become competitive. And maybe we're not doing the right things or enough things. Maybe we have tendencies. Maybe we do this or maybe we do that. That's why they pay you $1 million a year or $2 million a year. You know?
Yeah.
You can draw up the plays. You can draw them up, but then that doesn't mean they're going to work. You got to make it a reason why it's going to work. So this is what I would say. I wouldn't balance it. I'd go all out, ones against ones. That's what you're going to play on Saturday in the fall. And I'd let it roll a goal line. I'd go through all of that. And if we don't get to the goal line, then I'd make sure we got to the goal line. I'd put the ball down there, and we'd have three or four series where we worked on it in case we ever got there. And the same thing in the red zone. Find out we need, and then at the end of the game, we need two first downs. And we're not going to throw the damn football. But the defense doesn't know that. So what you're going to do is continue your fakes and do different things and move the football and pound it. You tell the offense, hey, guys, two first downs, we win this game. Let's get it. These are the type of things I think you have to drive. And you do the same with the defense. Hey, we stop them on this drive, we win the game. these are the type of things and mental attitudes that you put in their heads now before you really have to do it.
All right, Coach. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do a few questions. Back in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. We've got a couple questions this week, Coach, but any other, before we get into that, any other thoughts you had from the scrimmage you wanted to share that maybe we didn't discuss already?
Well, only thing is the tight ends. They got a tight end coach now, and I don't know what the tight ends did block. So I don't really know. Why don't they just put them on the line of scrimmage? They use them as an H-back and go to two backs when they do that or whatever. So they have a chance when they go to two backs to have a tight end so they can run a power play or do what they have to do. And I don't, but the tight ends aren't involved in much of it anymore. And it's the way it's been before. So I don't know. That's why I really feel it's still in the passing mood. And that's what they are, passing offense. Because unless you get the big tight ends in, they're blocking people and go to double tight, balance the defense. And if you're a football guy out there, you know what I'm talking about. When you run double tight, you balance the defense where they have to play nose on you evenly. They can't overload a side. Then you got a chance of running the ball and doing different things. But again, I we'll wait and see what their thoughts are.
All right. Well, we got a question from Don, and it's titled Max Brown. So Max Brown's former USC quarterback, and he's been doing, he's been doing a bunch of media. I don't know where this is, what interview Don is referring to, but apparently this is something that Max Brown said. But he said a comment Max Brown made about his meeting with Clay Helton was rather disturbing, and I believe it shows Clay Helton's character. When Clay Helton informed Max that he would no longer be the starter, so this is back, when Sam Darnold was getting started, they started off the 2016 season, the first three games. So Max wasn't going to be the starter. He said the meeting lasted 10 minutes. Considering that Max spent 3 years waiting to start, participated in all the practices, was reliable for 3 years and could have transferred any time, but elected to stay a Trojan, I believe he deserved more than a 10-minute meeting. Did he deserve more than a 10-minute meeting? You know the old saying about Helton's future? Gee, we have to wait till 2023. Okay, he's all over the place there. But, Coach, when you have to inform someone like that, is it usually a longer meeting? How does that go?
Well, it's a difficult answer because I don't know. I don't think that they didn't have a feeling before that what's going on, what his position coach and the head coaches. They talk all the time. They have grading that goes on. They watch tape together every day. They practice every day. And if they were that equal, okay. But I think that you have a responsibility to talk to who's going to start. And normally I would do it with both the quarterbacks together. I wouldn't do it one without the other because you want to hear it both together at the same time so you understand what one's been told and the other one's been told. You don't guess what the other one's been told, you know. So I would have them both in the same room and I'd go through it and explain why I made the decision I made. And I hope that I know you're disappointed. If you're not disappointed, you're not the type of person I think you are. And I really do want you to be a part of us and be there because you're one play away. And we've seen that one play away, one play away. We've seen it all the time with quarterbacks, one play away. What about Keaton Solis when he was one play away from taking JT Daniels' place? And you try to build him up by saying, if you're not disappointed, I would be disappointed in you. But as the coaches have decided that this is the way we're going to go, I expect you to be there. I expect you to be a support. I expect you to be into the game. I expect you to have headsets on. I expect you to write down every play. And I expect you to be ready that if you do go in the game, you had a great attitude and you're ready to go and play, not sulking in the background or talking in the locker room and becoming a locker room lawyer or your parents calling me wanting to know what's going on or all of the above. I think you have to be straight out, honest with kids today. Kids have been around football for a long time, and kids know exactly who's the best and who's not the best. And sometimes they don't agree with you, but you're the coach, okay? And you're the one that have to make these decisions. And they're not easy decisions. It's harder for him to give the talk to the players than it is for them to accept it. Believe me. When I used to have to remove a player off the team, a disciplined player, it hurt me more than it did the player. It hurt me more because I knew what I was doing, and I hated to do it. But there's certain things you have to do, and that's the responsibility of a head football coach, knowing how to communicate with your players, knowing how to make sure they understand you really care about them, knowing that you got to win football games too. So there's no single individual more important than the entire program. And I wanted to let my coaches know that, everybody on my staff know that all of us are together, and not one of you are more important than the other. We're all the same. And that's the type of talk I would not only give to my quarterbacks, but the entire staff and team.
Yeah, and I think Don's just being a little overly critical here of Clay Helton. I mean, we were not in the meeting. You don't know how it could have went. I mean, you could have – the meeting could have lasted an hour if they wanted it to. It could have lasted 5 minutes. If I'm the coach, if you're the player, I don't necessarily want to hear the coach tell me 15 minutes why I'm not the starting quarterback anymore. But if I have questions, I want him to be able to answer those, and that might make the meeting go longer. And if you're the head coach, yeah, I mean, I don't think you want to sit there and lecture a player for 15, 20 minutes. But you state what, you know, like Coach said, you be honest, you state why the decision was made. You can kind of give any background, whatever you need to do, supporting it. And then if the player has a crap load of questions, sit there and answer them. If he says, okay, coach, and walks out, then he walks out. I don't think you can just say, oh, Clayton's a bad coach or he has bad character because the meeting only lasted 10 minutes. I just think that's very – I think Don's just looking for a reason to be critical of Clay Helton.
Now, who is it that said that?
So Don is saying from a Max Brown interview, he said he had a 10-minute meeting with Clay Helton. I don't know who the – what the context was, what Max Brown said. If he said it was 10 minutes and I wanted it to be an hour, that's one thing, you know, or if it was, you know, he might have wanted to be done out of 10 minutes. I mean, I don't know how long you want to hear. It's like if you're getting broken up with or your girlfriend, like, do you want it to last an hour or do you want it to last 10 minutes? I'm not sure. You want it to go longer.
Yeah, I didn't hear that or understand. I didn't know who Don is. But, you know, first of all, I think SC and Clay Helton's been really good to Mac Brown. I mean, he transferred away, went to Pitt, and they accepted him back at USC. In many cases, when you leave that school, you're giving up your somewhat relationship with that university and you're going to another school. He's coming back and getting employed by USC or having the opportunity to be at USC. I think that Clay has always had the door open to help his players, and I want you to know that. He's kinder to him in a lot of ways than maybe I would have been as far as, you know, you can go away, but if you want to come back, you can come back. You know the different philosophies at different places. So I think that's I don't know if Clay is not as Clay would be that type of person.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there, Coach. All right, we got one last one. It's more of a statement from Junior in Moreno Valley. He sent in a picture of his dog before. He sent in another one. He's got a black, looks like kind of a retriever, with a USC jersey on. He says, I know Olive made it on the podcast. Here's a picture of my dog. That was his other dog. Picture of my dog, Shaq, with his USC football jersey on game days. I know he can't be seen through the podcast, but just want to drop in. Glad you guys are all back attending practices. Can't wait until we can all go to a game safely. And Junior, we all can't wait for that either. And hopefully you're a season ticket holder, you get an opportunity, you can go see the spring game.
Junior, I love dogs, okay? I'm an animal lover. And I'm glad you sent us a picture, you sent Ryan a picture of your dog. What's your dog's name? Call in and let us know what your dog's name is.
It was
okay?
Shaq, and then Olive was the other dog, so.
Okay, good, 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 good. Well, take care of your dog, and we hope the Trojans win. And for all of you out there, I don't know if we're done or not, Ryan, but I was sort of honest the way I see it and what I'd be doing if I was coaching that team. And as far as I think I'm responsible to you as listeners to not BS you or tell you exactly my thoughts. And as I always say, you can agree or don't agree. If you're a parent, I didn't attack any single individual player. I just talked as a group, but you want your son to do and have the opportunity to be successful, both in the classroom and out of the classroom, on the field. And they're both the same type of situations. You want them to have a great college experience. So you want them to get all A's and win all the games. So that's basically what, if I was a teacher, that's the way I'd approach it.
All right, Coach. Well, that's a good way to wrap up the show. Great insight onto USC scrimmage, and we are looking forward to being there at the Coliseum in person and seeing some fans in the stands. That is going to be cool. So we've been able to go to the Coliseum last year. We attend some games without fans. Having some fans in the stands is going to make a big difference. Just like watching golf over the weekend and the Masters and having patrons there at Augusta, having some of the crowd there was great. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to Saturday, Coach, and seeing some fans.
Well, I'll see you out there, Ryan, buddy. So take care, and I hope a lot of you get the opportunity to watch it too.
Yes, hope so. That's Coach Harvey Hyde. I'm Ryan Abraham. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Peristyle Podcast. Hope you enjoy the show, and we will talk to you next time.
The Rose Bowl Legacy Foundation preserves, protects, and enhances the future of the Rose Bowl Stadium as a National Historic Landmark. America's Stadium has hosted two Olympic Games, with a third one coming in 2028, two World Cup Finals, five Super Bowls, and the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl, since 1923. It is the epic center of college football and is the most iconic stadium in the world. To learn more about how you can support the Rose Bowl Stadium as it turns 100 years young, visit www.inspire, which spells inspire, 2022.org.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.